Can you talk a little bit about, you know, using these initial tools of the history and physical, what are sort of the buckets or clinical situations that patients fit into and how you manage them?
I think in large part there are three. So one is the patient with a tumor in any part of the rectum with concurrent metastatic disease, and that's probably 15 to 20%. Another third have low lesions where cure is obviously the endpoint, but sphincter preservation is important. And there have been decision analysis of this done of patients' approaches to their cancer and basically looking at the comparison or the contrast between patients' desire for cure at any price, and they might lean then more toward APR and colostomy. They just have a very surgical approach. And this has been done in breast cancer as well, where women even who could undergo lumpectomy say, just, I want a mastectomy. I don't care what the data show. At the other end, is if they really, really, really want to spare their sphincter, they're going to do almost anything to do that. And so those patients are the classic patients who benefit from neoadjuvant chemoradiotherapy, and that was well shown in the German trial of pre-op versus post-op therapy, where of the colostomies that were done, 39 colostomies were done on the post-op arm, where people went directly to surgery, and only 20 were done on the pre-op arm. So it cut the colostomy rate by about half.
Can I ask you a naive question as a non-surgeon, which is what really happens to the tumor that it becomes that you're able to then preserve the sphincter? In terms of the removal of the tumor, are the margins the same? Is the area that you're removing the same? I mean, even if they have a path CR, and if that's the case, why did they end up getting sphincter preservation when they couldn't before?
That's a great question, and that actually was raised many years ago with neoadjuvant therapy of breast cancer, is do tumors shrink as a balloon imploding, or do you simply have death of tumor throughout the entire diameter of the circle, but not necessarily shrink the circle?
Well, the one thing about breasts is it affects how much normal tissue you take, because the bigger the tumor is, the more normal tissue you have to take.
That's right.
Is that what's going on with rectal?
Pretty much. And one of the key factors, and we just published a paper in the JCO on this, one of the very key factors that Phil Quirk and others have emphasized is the circumferential radial margin. In the Dutch trial and in many trials, the circumferential radial margin is the margin of the least amount of normal tissue around the tumor. And so if you look, if people have more than a 1 centimeter margin, their risk of local regional failure is very small, even with surgery alone. But if you have an involved margin, of course, your risk of local failure is very high. So important in this is it's very important who does your surgery and how experienced they are. So what happens in low lesions, especially in men, because our pelvises are shaped like funnels rather than bowls, as in women, you physically need to be able to get in there and get around and do what's called a TME, a total mesorectal excision. And I think TME is just another keyword for good oncologic surgery. And, you know, it is true in the United States, for example, in Holland, there are only 7 institutions that do rectal surgery. That's it. Of course, it's a very small country, but every one of those surgeons have done hundreds of cases. It is true in the United States that someone literally can finish their surgical program, hung up their sign as a surgeon, and be doing rectal surgery, perhaps not ever having done one or two in their entire residency, because it is not required that only surgical oncologists do this.
So let's get back to your three basic categories.
Yeah.
So you talked about the second one that's going to get neoadjuvant systemic
almost
therapy
always.
/ RT.